letters out of the letter. Mm-hmm. It's a title for you to guess that this is the way.
This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Fry Fischl Ben Yoel Aria, Rabbi Fischl Dick Antwerp. Chof Gimel Ia, 31st of May, Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld.
Kri Uksiv.
The Shia is the Elisha's Rabbi Fischl Ben Rabbi Yoel Aria. On Sunday was his 20th Yortzeit, Zechoy Lev Rocha, and all the limud and the listening of the Shia should be Le'ilu Nishmosoi. On the subject of Kriyin Ksiv, we've already discussed Kriyin Ksiv once before in a Shia. The Ikka then was that we discussed the words who and he, and that's what we call a type 1. There are two types of Kriyin Ksiv in Tanakh. Type 1 is what you find in the whole of Tanakh, which is the standard Kriyin Ksiv, where a word is written in a certain way, but we have a Besoyerot that we read it a different way. The easiest example is the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we don't say it, we use the Loshon Adnos. So the way that it's written in the Torah, or the way that it's written in Nach, is not the way that we read it. We have a Masorah. And we'll explain that later on as to how exactly that works. The other one is the one that we made a fuss about last time. As I mentioned to Graham last time, that we made a big hoo-ha about he who.
Yeah,
last time, right? He and who. In the Torah, the word he is written he, yud, aleph, which is its, in inverted commas, correct spelling, only 11 times. He is written he, yud, aleph, 11 times. And he is written he, vov, aleph, which looks like who, but we say he, 128 times. And vahi and hahi is written vahu and hahu, in other words with a vov, another 64 times.
So also,
what?
It's pronounced he.
But it's pronounced he. So if one is a Baal Koira, if a person is a Baal Koira and he's not a Chosid, if he's a Chosid, no problem, they're all he. But if he's not a Chosid, then he has to know which one is he and which one is who. And sometimes, and in most cases, he is feminine, who is masculine, so you can work out from the context. But we discussed last time the question of nefesh and dam is quite confusing, and for instance in Lagabe Yom Kippur, there's a posuk Shabbos Shabbosoin hu lochem, and there's a posuk Shabbos Shabbosoin hi lochem. So clearly the context is not telling you which one is right. And if you're a Baal Kriya, if you have a look at the simonim, there's a tikkun called simonim, which gives you little hints for a Baal Kriya in order to help him remember how to do things right. There are some times when it gives you hints and you can work it out, and there are other times when he simply writes tzorech shinun. You need to practice. You need to spend time practicing it over and over again until you know it, because you can't work out from the context. But clearly, he and who is a very common one. There are many others in the Torah. That's type one, where you've got a word which is written, and you pronounce it differently. The Kri is different from the Ksiv. Type two only appears in Nach, not in the Torah at all. And that is where there is a complete word, which is either written and not said, or not written, and you say the word which isn't in the text in front of you. So there's a complete word missing, or a complete word too many in the text. The Gemara says in the Dorim Lamed Zayin, Omer Reb Yitzchok, Karyon Veloik Sivon, there are some words which are written and not which are read, but not written. And Sivon Veloik Karyon, and vice versa, Halocha Lemoshe Mesinai. That in those Sephorim in Nach, where you find too many words, or too few words, then they are Halocha Lemoshe Mesinai. And the Gemara lists out 11 examples. There are the Torah is Halocha Lemoshe Mesinai. We'll be discussing what about the Torah. But Rabbi Yitzchok says in the Torah there are no words missing. In the Torah there are some words where the word is written in one way and read differently. Yeah, that's a Kriyin Ksiv. So nowhere in the Torah, was. The word is written. There's a word written there, right? That sort of thing. There is a word there. The word is the text is there, but I'll give you the examples, because 4 out of the 11 come from Megillas Rus, which we're coming up to very shortly in Shavuos. Okay? One of them is Koilash Etoimri Ese is written. Yeah. Whatever you tell me, this was Rus saying to Normie, that she normally was giving her instructions to go to the Goyen at night and to meet Boyas, and she said, Koy la shetoimri, whatever you tell me, Ese. And the Baal Koryo has to know that although the word doesn't appear in the text, he has to line, Koil Ashetoimri Eli Ese. There's a word Eli which you read which doesn't appear. And that actually happens twice. Later on, when she comes back to Naomi and she brings her a present of the Seorim that Boaz sent as a present for Naomi, then she says, Ki Omar al Tovoi Rekal al Chamoisech, don't go back empty handed to your mother in law. And there again, it says, Ki Omar al Tovoi, but we read, Ki Omar Eli al Tovoi. So therefore, the Valkyria has to know, because there's no hint whatsoever in the text that the word Eli is there. That's Halach Lamoshe Misinai, and we'll be discussing why. We'll come to that later. And then later on it says, Ki Goyel Onoichi, when he said that I will redeem the field of Elimelech because I am a close relative, it writes there, Ki Goyel Onoichi, but we have to read, Ki Im Goyel Onoichi. There's a word Im which appears in the Cree, as we say, but it's not in the text. So Valkyrie Pasha has to know, though there's no hint whatsoever in front of him, in the text of Bigelas Rus. Similarly, the other way around, Hugad Hugad Li Asher Osis Eschamoyseich, that Boaz said to Rus, that I've been told about the wonderful things that you've done looking after Naomi, your mother-in-law, and the word S doesn't appear in the text, but the word S is written, it does appear, but the Valkyrie has to know that we don't read it. And the S is obviously very difficult because S, in, as the Archbishop says, is an untranslatable word. So why we have S in some places and we don't in other places as a sign of a direct object, that's another discussion, not for here. So, from the Losh of the Gemara at Smashma, at least according to Rabbi Yitzchok, that these Korean ksivs are Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, at least the 11 that Rabbi Yitzchok there mentions where there is a complete word missing, or there is a complete word too many. Rabbi Yitzchok L'Choria doesn't discuss where there is a word and we read it differently. That's separate. Now the Radak has a very, very mechudish dikah suggestion as to where Korean ksiv comes from. And there are many kashas on the Radak, and the other Rishonim, and the Achronim certainly are very unhappy with him. But, and it's not for us to query the Radak, obviously. The Radak was an early Rishon. The Radak was born in 1160. So you can assume that he wrote his Sefer, his Perish on Nach, about 800 years ago. So he was one of the early Rishonim. And he writes as follows. He writes in his Akdoma to Nach, in the Akdoma to Sefer Yoshua, it's mentioned again later on in Shmuel Beis. He writes as follows, Gam echtoiv ta'am, ksiv ukri, I will always give you alternative pshotim in the ksiv and the kri, kasha uchalosis ta'am nishneim, if I'm able to find a reason why, a logic as to what the ksiv means and what the kri means, and there are two alternative explanations, then I will try and do it. It's the Radak giving you an introduction to his perish on Nach. He's telling you, this is the way my perish works. I'll try and explain them both. And then he writes as follows. He doesn't bring a makor for it, but he writes this controversial suggestion. Venira, and this is the only text that I'm going to read to you line by line because it's important. The others I'll give you bal peh because there isn't enough time to go through it. But this is important. Venira, kimila suelo nimso kein. Why do we have Korean ksivs? He writes, lefisha begolos rishon bebovel of duas forin. When the Eden got taken out of Eretz Yisrael, after the Bechorban Bayis Rishon, and they were taken as slaves to Bovel, they lost their Sifrei Torah, they lost their Sforim, they lost Sifrei Nach, the Sforim got lost. Nitaltalu ha-chachomim, the Chachomim were all displaced. The Yoidei ha-Torah Mesu, and over the period of 70 years that they were in Golos, those who knew the correct text of the Torah died. The Anshei Knesset Gdoilo, who came after Churban Bayis Rishon, and the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, and Hechziru HaTorah LeYoshno, they republished the Sforim in their correct form. They restored them. Yeah, Motsu Machlokes B'Sforim. They sent out letters, presumably. They sent anybody who's got an old text, a reliable text of the Sifrei Tanakh, should send them in, and we'll examine them, and we'll try and make an official, authorized, corrected version of the Tanakh Lechoria, of all of them. Motsu Machlokes B'Sforim. And they found that some Sforim were written like this, and some Sforim were written like that. V'holchu lehem achahoroiv, lefi da'atom, And then they applied their logic and their intelligence, and sometimes they went according to the rove of the Sforim, and that's how they did it, and therefore it comes out that sometimes you'll have a ksiv loy kri, sometimes you'll have a kri loy ksiv, and sometimes you'll have a kri uksiv. It comes out according to the Radak that a kri and ksiv is actually a sophic. We don't know which one's right. The Anshei Knesset HaGdoila were unsure, they didn't have reliable texts. And therefore, they gave you both. They gave you both alternatives. And the kashas are many on the Radak, and the Radvazas on the Radak. First kasha simply is, we just learned a Gemara, it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And now it sounds like this is all Anshei Knesset HaGdoila having a sophic as to what's correct. So what's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai in the Kri and Sivs? And particularly, the Radak doesn't bring down the Gemara. You might have said, so the Gemara is only talking about where there's a complete word. And all the others where there's a text and a Kri, maybe that the Gemara doesn't speak about. But the Radak doesn't even mention the Gemara, which is a Chiddush, it's a Mefurash Gemara in the Dorim. The second thing is that if it's actually a Sophic as to which is correct, then why don't we read both of them? Yeah, like Zeche Amalek and Zeche Amalek. If you say that the ksiv is one thing and the kri is the way it's supposed to be read, then I read the kri and I don't read the ksiv. But if you're saying halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there isn't the choyer. And according to the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, these are all fakers because they didn't have accurate texts and they were guessing that this one is probably right and that one's probably alternative, etc. Then why don't we read both? That's another kasha. Also, why are there only two alternatives? In some cases, maybe they had five alternatives. Maybe they had five different texts which gave alternatives. And therefore, the Choyer, why has it come out that we never have more than one Kri and one Ksiv? They might have had three conflicting texts, and maybe all of them might have made sense, at least in some places. And yet we never find more than two. Also, if they decided that the Ksiv is the more likely version of the correct text, then why do we read the Kri and not the Ksiv? What we should do is, we should read the Ksiv. They decided, which one did they decide is the most likely? Out of all the texts that they had, they decided that probably, out of on balance with the way that we understand it and the majority, the Ksiv is the way that the text should be written. So why do we read the Kri then? We should really read the Ksiv, and if you're an Art School fan, then maybe you'd scan the others afterwards. Yeah. So, and also, generally speaking, were there no Kri and Ksivs before then? What happened during Bais Rishon? What happened during all the period up to Bais Rishon, and the 1,000 years before Golus, before the first Golus? What happened then? From Matan Torah, were there any Kri and Ksivs? According to the Radak, it's just the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila at the beginning of Bais Sheni creating the Kri and Ksivs for the first time because it's a Sophic. So the Abar Banel, actually the Abar Banel and the Malbim both discussed this in their Hakdoma to Sefer Yirmiyahu. Why don't they discuss it earlier at the introduction to Sefer Nach? The Malbim writes, because in Yirmiyahu, per capita, there are twice as many Kri and Ksivs as in any other Sefer. You'll find more per posuk, per word, if you like. You'll find more Kri and Ksivs in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Therefore, they both end up discussing it. The Abar Banel says it cannot be what the, he brings down the Radak. He asks the Kasha on the Radak specifically about the Gemara. And he says as follows, and again, his chat is also not accepted according to everybody. He says as follows, that at the end of Bais Sheni, Ezra HaSofer decided that he was going to publish the authentic version of the Bible. And he had reliable ksivs. He had reliable sforim in which the Sifrei Tanakh were written out reliably, word for word. But he says that Ezra understood that there are words in the Torah that we cannot understand. There are words in Nach that we normal mortals cannot understand. It's beyond our understanding. They have very, very deep meanings. He says deep remozim and very deep meanings. And therefore, he decided to make things easier for us, and he gave us a Kri as well. And what he said was, the Ksiv is actually what's written. But that to us is ununderstandable. We can't make sense of it. It doesn't mean anything to us. The meanings are so deep that your average reader will not be able to understand. And therefore he added a Kri in order to make it easier for us. And then the second thing that he says, which is also controversial, is he says that the Nevi'im didn't take GCSE in BH. He says that they were not experts in Dikduk or in linguistic style. And therefore, well, he says the Nevi'im, we're not talking about the Torah, obviously, but the Nevi'im, when they wrote their Sforim, they made grammatical mistakes, and the style wasn't good. Was it Baruch HaKodesh? To what extent? But maybe the Kavonos were written Baruch HaKodesh, but that's what he writes. HaNevi'im loy hoyu b'kiyim b'dikduk, he writes. They were not experts, and Ezra didn't want to change their Nusach. Ezra didn't want to alter anything. A Novi wrote Baruch HaKodesh, this is the text, I'm not altering anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you notes at the side. So therefore Ezra added Kriz to say that this is the way that you can, that this is the correction, if you like, to the bad grammar that the Novi, maybe he was a Novi, and he was a Tzaddik, and he was Ruach HaKodesh, and his message was Torah, Min HaShemayim, but Afal Biken, the text wasn't accurate, and therefore he felt that he could improve the text. This is the Abba Benel in his Akdomot Yirmiyahu, speaking about Ezra HaSofer. The Malbim wants to make a bit of a pshorah. The Malbim discusses this as well, and he brings the Radak as well. And he says as follows, the way I understand the Malbim is that he says that in the Torah, everything is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. In the Torah, you've only got type 1, which is words, which have got two different meanings. In Nach, you've got the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of the words which are missing, and the words which are one too many. We talk about complete words. Where in Nach you find that there are words which are Kriya Ksiv similar to the Torah, he says the Nevi'im copied the style of the Torah. When the Nevi'im saw Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that the Torah gave us an inyan of Kriya Ksiv, then the Nevi'im said, we can do the same thing. And therefore they built in to the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai was that the word Eli should be there or shouldn't be there, the word Es should be there, shouldn't be there. When you're talking about those 11 psukim, that's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But apart from that, he says that the Nevi'im also did Kriya Ksiv similar, yeah? They copied the technique, they copied the style of the Torah, and they actually wrote. And therefore he says that all the text of the Nevi'im that we have is absolutely correct. It's all as the Nevi'im wrote it, and the Nevi'im deliberately themselves introduced Kriya Ksiv similar to the style that they saw that Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai had taught us in the Torah itself. The Maral in Tiferes Yisrael, the Balatanya in Likutei Torah and the Nigros Kodesh, and Rebbe Desla, they all say that they don't like any of this really. What they say is that every word of the Torah and every word of Nach is, as Ralph wants to say, is Ruach HaKodesh, is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, is Mamash Torah Min HaShemayim, is to be regarded as accurate. Novos, the Kri and the Ksiv is very simple. They say the Ksiv is things which are written, but they have hidden meanings. And the Kri is the Peshat. Yeah, basically Pshat and Remez, almost. The what's called the Baal Tanya speaks about Olam Disgalia, Olam Diskasia, etc. That talks in these Lashonas. But simply speaking, and Rabbi Dessler gives a simple example, come back to what we started off with. Yudke Vovke. He said Yudke Vovke is a name that means absolutely nothing to us, Bizman Hazeh. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't know what it means. We can't translate it, we can't interpret it, we can't understand it. He writes, Bayoimahu, Yehya Hashem Echod Ushmo Echod, Mashiach V'Kimen, and then you'll have Das as Hashem Kayam, Kamayim Layom Achasim. Then we'll understand what the Shem Hashem means. And therefore today, Enechanama, the Ksiv is Yudke Vovke. That's Torah Min HaShemayim, and that's the way it's written from the beginning to the end of Nach. From the beginning of Torah till the end of Nach. But he says, for us to understand it, Chazal gave us the Kri. So the Torah, sorry, Min HaShemayim, they gave us the Kri. The Kri was there so that we could understand. But Rosh Hashanah, that the Rebbein Shlomo is the master, the idea of Midas HaRachmim, these are things that we can understand. He gives another example, which is a nice example. He says that when the Klal Yisrael were told to go seven times around Yericho, And then the pasuk says v'hoya k'shomachem as koil hashoifo, that when you will hear the koil hashoifo after going seven times round, then the walls, yeah, the old song, the walls will come and tumbling down. So therefore, he says there's a kriya ksiv, there's a k'shomachem and a b'shomachem. The k'shomachem means when you hear the shoifo, the walls will come down. B'shomachem says that when you will hear the Kol HaShofar, and you will be mechaven, you'll think of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you'll raise your tefillahs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then B'Shomachem, by the fact that you are thinking of the Rabbeinu Shalom and waiting for his nest and waiting for him to be mekayem his promise, in that zechus the wolves will come tumbling down. But b'shamachem is a much deeper meaning. So that's the ksiv. K'shamachem says simply, when you hear the koel ha-shofar, the walls will collapse. So that's those are the two examples that Rebbe Dessler gives in order for us to understand Kriyan Ksiv. So now let's, in the 10 minutes we've got available. Sorry? It's a Michdam Eliyahu, I've got the reference, okay. I'll give you later. Yeah, the Maharal is in Teferis Yisrael, the Balatanya is in the Likutei Torah and in Igros Kodesh. They all say the same thing.
The substitute of the word in the
There must be something that in the Yishgolena, which is a remez moed omuk, which maybe we find difficult to understand. But as the Radak said, you'll always try and find two pshotim. And we're going to give an example now. I didn't really wonder until I got to leading this year. But in Ezra Saviseina every day, we speak about releasing prisoners as Moitzi Asirim. Moitzi Asirim of Foida Anovim. In Shmoneh Esrei, a few minutes later, we talk about releasing prisoners as a Mati Asurim. So the question is, what's the difference between Asirim and Asurim? And also, in case you say, well, I'm a Chosid and I always say Asirim, yeah, but then why do we change it from Moitzi to Mati? What's Tratim Moitzi Asirim as against Mati Asurim? Which both seem to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases prisoners from their bondage. So Parshas Miketz, by the way, I've quoted them before in this year. I once had a shir from, at that time he was a younger man, it's probably about 20 years ago, called Berish Rosenberg. And he lives in Zurich, he's a Belzer Chosid, he's a practicing lawyer. And he's a big Talmud Chochem, and he gave a shir in Antwerp at the Yachikala. About Osech Zemikol Oam, it was a very good shir, so I went out and bought the sefer. The sefer called Dovah Toiv Al HaTorah. It's a very nice sefer, especially for people who are interested in words and dikduk and grammar. And he speaks about the Parshas Miketz, Vayikach Adonai Yosef Oisoi, that the master of Yosef Potiphar threw him into prison, Vayinayel Beis Asoi, Mekoim, that was the place, Asher Asirei HaMelech Asurim, that the prisoners of the king were incarcerated. Good word. So, Asire is written with a Kriyan Aksiv. Right? It's written Asure, but we read it Asire. It's written Aleph Samach Vov Resh Yud, but we read it Asire with a Yud. Says the Dovah Toiv, he brings down the Koyrus. He says, what's the difference between an asir and an asur? He says, an asir is a noun, and it means he is a prisoner, he's a convict, he's a lifer, he belongs in the prison, he's part of the system, he's committed a crime, he's serving time. Asur is somebody who is held in custody, but he hasn't necessarily done anything, right? It's an adjective, it describes his state, and it says he's held in custody, he's locked up, but he might be innocent, he might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we'll discuss that a little bit later. He says, the prison of Paroi was the prison for Asirim, for people who committed crimes and deserve to be there, and were going to serve their sentences. But he says that in that prison, there were three people who were Asurim. Those three people, one of them was Yosef. Yosef himself said, V'gampoi lo yosisi me'umo, I didn't deserve to be here. He's protesting his innocence. There's no reason why I should be here. I'm not an asir, a prisoner. I'm an asur. I'm somebody who's being held here against my will and unfairly, unjustly. And the other one is the mashke and the oifer. Rashi writes quite clearly. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu inot liyodom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the situation whereby the mashke and the oifer kedei lesavev liyosef esa Yeshua. Yeah, he says, "Ve'emes loy hoyu ruim loy samasa." Rashi writes that they were not deserving of being thrown into prison for the crimes that they committed. Uloisa oynish machmas atzmom. Novos the Rebbeinu Shlom ino the Yodom kidei lesavav liyosef esay Yeshua. And they both knew that they were in prison and that they didn't deserve to be in prison. Says the Dovah Toiv. Therefore, I understand the two meanings. I've got asir and asur. Asirei hamelech. It was a prison for prisoners. But there were three people in there who were only Asurim. And the raya is, because later it says, Vayachalmu Shneem, that the Mashke and the Oifa both had a dream, HaMashke v'Oifa Shalemelech Mitzrayim, Asher Asurim b'Beis HaSoyah, that they were held in the Beis HaSoyah, but they didn't actually belong to the system. So, you could explain it in two ways, either as we just explained it, or you can even explain it that Yosef and the Mashke and the Oifa, they were in prison, but they thought they were there for life. The Torah is telling me they were actually there for a short time. They were only Asurim. But as far as they were concerned, Paro had thrown away the key. They saw no hope whatsoever. Without a miracle, there was no way they were going to get out. Fine. So in that case, you have to think of it this way. I've got enough time. If there's a demonstration, let's say, I was thinking of it as an example. There's a demonstration in central London, anti-austerity demonstration, and there's thousands of people on the march, and it turns nasty, and it becomes a riot. And shops get looted, and cars get burnt, and people get injured, and a policeman got killed. And the police go in with heavy, with troops, etc., and they arrest dozens and dozens of people, and they lock them up overnight. Amongst those people, you have, first of all, you might have an undercover cop who was actually infiltrated some gang, and he was there on the demonstration, and he's actually a policeman. So he knows he doesn't belong in prison. And then you've got the tramp who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the foreign tourist who happened to be, looking at the sights of London. These people, they're in overnight, they get out the next morning, and they adapt back to normal life. You can't say that they need to adjust back to City Street because they were in prison. Right? They were there for the night, etc. On the other hand, you'll get one person, let's say, who's charged with, and has a trial for killing a policeman. And he knows that he's guilty, and he's part of a gang, and he's got a history, etc. And he gets 20 years, and he spends 20 years in prison. When that person comes out of prison, it's very, very hard for him to adjust to Civvy Street, to go back to there are whole programs in order to help them readjust to go back to normal life. There's another guy who is actually innocent. He was also accused of killing a policeman, and he was found guilty. And he goes through appeals, one after the other, and he's unsuccessful. And in the end, he has to spend 20 years in prison. Now that guy, at the beginning, is protesting his innocence, because he knows he's innocent. He goes through every possible avenue of appeal. But eventually, he becomes resigned to it. He's lost everything, there's no other way he can go to. He has to serve his sentence. And gradually, he changes from being an osur, somebody who's held against his will on a temporary basis, and he becomes an asir. And that, the lechora, is what happened to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael went into Mitzrayim as free men. And then Paro started to enslave them. And they protested, and they said, "We are asurim. What right do you have to enslave us? We've done nothing." Right? Anybody, throughout the generations, when Jews were discriminated against, and they were punished, and things were done to them because they were Jewish, they said, "What right do you have?" And therefore they're asurim, they're protesting their innocence, they don't belong to the system, we shouldn't be here, why are we being treated as slaves? But you can imagine that gradually over 210 years, through 8 generations, the 8th generation that was born just before Yetzias Mitzrayim, They were born into slavery, their parents have been slaves, and their ancestors have been slaves all their life, they knew nothing else. They already grew up as Asirim, although Klal Yisrael went in originally as Bnei Chorin, became Asurim, and gradually changed to Asirim. And therefore, it's very understandable that somebody who is an Osir, somebody who is part of the system, a long-term prisoner, he takes time to adjust back to being free. When he comes out of prison, it's very hard. You even hear about prisoners who re-offend in order to go back inside because they can't get used to life outside. And therefore it's the adjustment of becoming from Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem, that's much, much harder to happen than somebody who was just in prison overnight, just in prison temporarily. Therefore, when it comes to Asirim, we use the Lashon of Moitzi, the Hoitzo'o, going out from one system to another system. Moitzi Asirim is much harder than Matir Asurim. If you're only Asurim, then Matir, you can release the string, you can make things easier, you can untie somebody, etc. Moitzi Asirim is a much more complicated system, because somebody who is an Osir, who's part of the system, whose mentality is a prison mentality, a slave mentality, that person to adjust to freedom is a Moitzi Asirim. I've got more to say, but my time is up. So Rabbi Shalom shall help the Be'ez Hashem, we shall all be Zoicha, as Rabbi Shalom shall always be Moitzi Asirim, and there shall be no Asurim.